Welcome, patrons, to our review of A Good Day to Die Hard.
Is it a good day, Hendo?
Because I don't know about you, but I watched A Good Day to Die Hard this morning, and it did not start off my day well.
Certainly is a good day for this franchise to die hard.
Ooh, well said.
Jack!
Dad?
This is what you've been doing? 007 of Plainfield, New Jersey.
Relax, you're safe now.
Save my ass.
This guy's bad news. Terrorism. Weapons grade uranium. Nukes. Someone's gotta stop him.
Attaboy.
Knock, knock. So, A Good Day to Die Hard, released in 2013, starring Bruce Willis, Jai Courtney.
That's it. Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Did you see the version she was in?
No.
I did not either.
Because I went on to the IMDb page for it afterwards, and I had a look around, and I saw that she was, like, third billed for it.
Yep.
I was like, did I fall asleep? Like, it's probable that I did, but did I miss her? Like, was she on a phone call somewhere that I didn't remember? But apparently, she was in the original cut, but in the extended cut, she got taken out.
Which means that we watched the extended cut of this.
Yes, we did.
That's commitment.
Yeah.
So this film was directed by John Moore, who directed such classics as Max Payne, Flight of the Phoenix, the remake of The Omen.
Behind Enemy Lines.
Behind Enemy Lines is probably his
opus.
Film. Yeah, his magnum opus. His magnum opus, Behind Enemy Lines. So this film had a budget of $92 million.
Wow.
Grossed $67 million in America.
Ouch.
Was the 52nd highest for the year. But in worldwide, it made $304 million.
Oh, so more than
Yeah, it's the worldwide thing that gets it. It ended up 24th for the year as well. So nowhere near the other four in terms of high-ranking Die Hard films with popularity and
it's
gross.
More than I expected.
Worldwide, yeah. I kind of expected the gross in America.
Do Russians get movies like Americans do?
Do you think the Russians would like this film?
Well, it's set in Russia. If there was a film...
Is that enough for them to like
it? If there was a film set in Melbourne, I'd probably be more inclined to watch it.
I don't know if the Russians would like a film where the Russians are portrayed awful and every Russian is a bad guy and Americans just come over and take over Russia like, we're the kings of the world. How dare you try your own thing?
And none of the Russian bad guys are actually played by Russians.
Yeah. I did read they were like Ukrainian and all these different countries around the area. So I did see there were a couple of other people who were considered for the role of Jack McClane.
JT.
And especially,
my boy.
What about Aaron Paul? Liam Hemsworth?
Hold on. Aaron Paul. What was he doing in 13?
Breaking Bad.
What season? How big was it?
Pretty big, I think. At that point, it might have been like season 4-ish.
Yeah, okay. It would have been. Yeah.
I would have preferred him.
Jesus.
What else did we have? Paul Walker was in there.
I think he would have been worse.
Milo Ventimiglia.
Who is that?
The guy from Heroes? The main guy?
The Asian guy. This is my son. But he's Asian. I've never seen Heroes.
Oh, okay. What else would you know him from then? Probably, I can't even think of other things he's been in. He's very well known for just the main guy in Heroes.
Yeah, very well known if you've ever seen the show Heroes.
He's in other movies. I know he played Rocky's son in Rocky Balboa, but I don't think you've seen the sixth one?
No.
No, okay. Paul Dano was also considered. What the hell kind of movie would that have been? But ultimately, they went with Jai Courtney, this fucking guy.
He had not been really in much. He was in a couple of seasons of Packed to the Rafters and
an old Australian drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he got this and...
For him, this is the role of a bloody lifetime, landing this.
He went off to go in like all the Divergent movies and Suicide Squad, a glowing filmography, if I do say so myself.
Terminator Genesis.
You're making my point.
He's in like big...
What is that, Genesis?
He's in big movies.
Yeah, but they're big, terrible movies.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, he gets the money.
How is he getting these roles?
I know. They're probably looking at it like, this feels like it's going to be a terrible movie. We got to get this guy in. Yeah, so this is the shortest and worst critically received movie of the whole series.
I was so glad when I put it on and saw that it wasn't over 2 hours.
Yeah, it was
good. An hour 40, I was like, okay, I can get through this. Or so I thought.
Did you get through it?
No, I did.
Okay,
actually, no, I didn't.
Wow.
I fell asleep.
You said you watched it this morning.
Hence why I watched it this morning.
Okay.
So I tried to watch it last night and I fell asleep and I finished it off this morning. And even this morning, after having a full night's rest, put it on, start dozing. I was like, no, wake up.
You're going to do it. And as we're alluding to, this has an average of 5.3 over 184,000 ratings on IMDb. It's probably the... Actually, I'm certain it is the second lowest rated film we've done. Main show or patron. You obviously know what the first one is.
Yep. Disaster movie.
Yes.
I guess we did all the Wes Andersons and none of them are lower.
No, they all hit like a 7-ish.
Yeah.
No. All right, Dean, let's get into it. We start off with a news report. Something about two Russians.
What Moscow. Names? Hold on. I did write this down. Yuri Komarov.
And Chigarin? This other guy who's supposed
Victor.
To be? Yeah, this guy. He's in like two scenes. He's supposed to be this evil villain kind of guy.
Yeah, I couldn't really work out who the big bad was meant to be for the majority of this film.
Yeah, because you never see this other guy. Because
it starts off and you think it's Victor.
Yeah, this Victor Chigarin.
And then it turns into the henchman that's leading the operation.
This douchebag. Like,
he was in a lot. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, okay, maybe it's this chick. But then it becomes the guy and who knows?
It's the whole villain setup, this twist is horrendous. We'll get to it. So, yeah, they have their prison confrontation. It's all, ooh, yeah, I'm going to get you.
Very
blah, blah.
Dramatic.
Yeah. Anyway, it moves on to who we assume is Jack McClane, Jai Courtney, killing this guy.
Yeah. Can I just, before we get there, can I just say how much this opening music as the opening credits went in was very, very much like Mission Impossible?
Was it? I didn't even pick up on that.
It really was.
This whole opening, before we get back to America, is so confusing. I have no idea what's going on. Who's this girl? Who's he killing? I legit have no idea what's going on.
I still don't know who he's killing.
I don't know either.
Do you know?
No. Like, the general plot for this and the plan that Komarov ends up having, how does it involve Jack? Like, what did Jack do here killing this guy? What was he trying to silence this guy testifying against Komarov?
I guess. It could have honestly just been some random that he's gone into the prison and said, listen, I'll say that Komarov told me to kill him.
I don't understand. Like, we get to this point later on near the court scene where I just get so confused about Jack's motives and what his overall plan is, but we'll get to that. We get back to America here. Well, not back to America. This is where first time in America with ratchety old John McClane shooting range.
Oh, I love this scene.
Is it the best part of the movie?
I think this is probably the best part of the movie because at this point, it's laughably bad. I laughed at this scene.
How did he get all this information that Jack was, like, arrested in Russia? He's got, like, files on him. Here's all the files you're after. How did he know that? How did this American cop find out about this undercover CIA agent getting arrested in Russia and is held in court? And if he knew because he was a spy in that, he should have known he was a spy.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's a good point.
This movie is just so filled with plot holes and it's lazy. This movie is lazy.
It is.
And I've got so many more points to point out later on in regards to his laziness.
I love, though, when he loses his shit and starts firing at it while screaming. Like, are we meant to know what he was saying there? Because he wasn't just yelling. He was saying words.
I think he was like, hurling abuse at his son. Like, God damn it, Jack, God damn it.
Oh, God, it was funny.
So, anyway, McClane heads over to Russia, and he's in a cab with this Russian guy.
What is this? Like,
are they trying to recreate the Argyle scene from the first one? This funny cab driver he's interacting with is terrible.
No, it really is. Like, these guys, they're talking about how bad the traffic is. Now, in fairness to them, this is probably exactly what a cab driver would be like. But do we need to see all this mundane shit?
We do to set up the fact that he knows that the girl is lying later.
And he starts singing Sinatra. Yeah. Like, and then the soundtrack goes into the actual Sinatra song.
McClane gets out of the taxi.
He doesn't get charged for the ride because he let him sing?
Yeah, whatever. That's Russia. Was that Russian guy?
That's Russia.
It must be that Russian guy.
Is that how generous the Russians are?
I know. But he gets out of the cab to walk away, and other people are getting out of their cars. What are they doing? Are they leaving their cars there?
Yes.
forget this traffic. I'm just going to leave my car here for the day. That doesn't make any sense. Like, he's getting out of a taxi. It makes sense. Huh. These cars are like,
they're
actually
parked.
I'm down here. This is my parking spot.
Wonder the cab's not going anywhere.
So we get to the court here where Jack is imprisoned with Komarov in these two separate
glass. Very Silence of the Lambs-ish.
Yes, very much. But there's this plan to... What is the plan here?
Well, here's my issue. The bad guys are the one that blow them up.
Are they trying to kill Komarov?
Yes. No, they're trying to They're trying to grab Komarov.
Yes, by blowing the building up, he's in.
And everyone else disappears as soon as
everyone
the explosion.
Everyone else dies, except these two, yeah, for some reason.
Well, it's the glass.
Oh, of course.
Impervious to explosions.
I don't understand what their intention was here. If their plan was to blow up that building but keep him alive.
It's dumb.
It's ridiculous.
What's Jack's plan?
Oh, that's what I was going to say. What is it? What, like, is he doing?
This is not like you think, okay, so his plan. He has a van ready to go, you know.
It's not him doing this.
And he's on a time thing as well.
Yeah.
Like, he gets out.
I'm so happy.
He wastes a minute or two with Bruce Willis here, and he's missed his window.
What was their plan?
It makes exactly. No sense.
I'm just sitting going, what is
These
happening?
These guys blowing up the courthouse are not CIA guys.
No.
What was Jack going
to
do?
Yeah. What was his initial plan to get Komarov out of there? In that minute? Like that?
Yes. You have... exactly right. Like, we see... like. Seriously, what the fuck is McClane doing here? He stops his van. Jack, what are you doing? These bad guys are like, what's going on over there? Oh, there he is.
Oh, he's right there. How convenient. Don't shoot him, though. Get the truck.
Oh, man, it's bad.
What do you think of this car chase through the city?
It is so long.
It's so shit as well.
Like, it's... I thought it was long, and I wasn't even halfway into it.
No.
It just kept going.
Yeah. There's some incredibly dumb shit that you just cannot suspend your disbelief with. McClane doing this stupid 360 spin in this truck with, you know, with the thing on the back, and he just smashes through all these cars, does like 8 flips in the air.
Yep.
And he just gets like, oh geez, I'll dust myself off.
Yep.
Kidding me?
At least in the fourth one, we have different opinions,
yeah,
but at least he did have some reaction like, holy shit, this is crazy, what's going on here?
At least he got a little bit bloody.
Yeah. Like, he gets up like it's nothing, and then he punches this guy,
and
you got like this old school Kung Fu Hong Kong style. It's like, what?
But this here's what I'm talking about. This is where they've gone so far away from like the John McClane character. Like, first off, he's a dumbass for standing in the middle of the road trying to stop a car, gets hit by the car, is annoyed that he got hit by the car.
Yeah.
The Russian comes up to him and speaks to him in his native tongue, in his native language. McClane knocks him out and expects him to think he doesn't know how to speak Russian. You know, you don't understand what you're saying? That's not funny.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's not likable. McClane is not likable in this film anymore, like in this franchise anymore. It's far away from what he was like in the first Die Hard. It's really bad.
And the second, and the third.
Especially the third. Like, up to this point, I've got some, like, I may as well just bring up here now. In the third one, there's a big discussion between him and Jules about him being a racist. And you can side with McClane.
Who?
Jules.
Do you mean Zeus? you saying Jules like Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
Jules? I thought you did. I was like, should I let that go? Like, did you actually say Jules? You did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's not actually Jules, mate.
It's Zeus. It's Zeus. I was going to say Samuel L. Jackson, but yeah. Okay, anyway. There's a conversation there where, you know,
Jules.
He's talking, you think I'm a racist, don't you? And you can side with McClane because he's not actually being racist to him.
Yeah.
He's 100% a racist in this film. He calls this Russian guy, you know, Papa Geppetto. He calls him a bloody,
Is that racist?
To Italians.
They're Russian.
But he calls him a Russian, like, what does he call him?
I didn't pick up that McClane was racist in this film.
He does definitely use a Russian slang, like some Russian word.
How would you know? He doesn't know Russian. How is he using Russian slang?
Yeah, when he's been talking about how, you're part of this, he goes, well, Yudzinski, I'm not part of this.
Who is Yudzinski?
Exactly. It's not his name. It's just a Russian, saying that stuff that is negative towards Russians. He's being a racist towards Russians.
I think you're being a bit sensitive here.
No, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, you wouldn't have heard McClane call Hans a kraut or a Nazi in the first one, would you?
Yes.
No.
I could imagine him calling him a Nazi.
He doesn't.
Okay, but I could imagine it.
Nah, but he doesn't. That's the thing. He does here.
Okay.
He's a crotchety old man. Anyway, back to this car chase. Just everyone who's making this film just expects us to, like, they treat their audience like they're idiots. Everything is just so convenient as well. He drives off the bridge down the car trailer. Like, how convenient is it for that to be there? Oh yeah, let's just cruise on down here. What a joke. Like, it's lazy riding. It's not entertaining.
And he's ramming a tank.
Yes.
It's a tank.
Yes, and he's budging it. Like, he's at war with this armored tank. It's like, this tank should be just, like, swatted off the road. Get out of here. And again.
And he starts his little one-liners here. Like, he hits the back of the tank and he's like, knock, knock.
I think that's been used before.
I'm like, oh, dear.
Again, the fact that this blue van that Jack is driving gets spun around sideways and this tank is like pushing it down the highway, it does a spin out, and then it's perfectly fine to drive off.
Yeah.
Those wheels would be destroyed. That would be bent off their axles.
Bent off their axles, eh?
You try ramming a car down a freeway sideways, those wheels are going to do this. They're going to tilt, and they're going to be off.
Okay.
I just feel like this film is the epitome of America, fuck yeah! Like, it's what it is. He comes over there, he just takes over, and everyone's like, oh yeah, he's like, buddy, John McClane, you're the man! And again, this armored truck goes off the bridge through a concrete bloody cylinder.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, just get up, all good. What?
Yeah, it's laughable.
Also, there's one thing I noticed. At some point during this chase, there is a smaller blue car that is getting like piled into by this armored van.
Yeah.
It's doing 360 spins along the road. There is a small shot at the end of this where you see the cameraman. You see the mount.
What?
You see the mount that the camera's off. I'm not
this
even
is
joking.
Unacceptable.
This is what
high caliber film that we're watching.
No, you say it like sarcastically, but I'm being serious. Like this is a diehard film that they're going out making $92 million to make this film, and they do something as sloppy as keep this little shot in. I took a screenshot of it.
Did you really? Post it on the Patreon.
I will. When it crashes, like the camera swings that way and you get this.
Is that a cameraman?
That's the motorbike and that's the mount where the camera is. Like the camera's right here. What is this? What is this on the motorbike?
Is that a microphone, I guess?
And look, the buddy guy's in a buddy t-shirt in Moscow in the middle of the cold. Is that him holding a camera? Oh my God!
Is that?
Is there someone looking at a camera and this guy holding it?
It probably is, actually.
Wow, look what we just discovered.
Jesus.
We'll post this picture on the Patreon. You guys can check this out. This is embarrassing.
And they do this thing here, and they do it a lot, where they'll have this big explosion or big action thing happen. They'll do slow-mo, and they'll show it repeatedly from different angles.
Yep.
They do it all the time.
There's also a shot where you have that other random bad guy who's supposed to be the big bad guy.
Which one?
The not bearded bloke, the other Russian guy.
The bald guy?
No. The enemy to Chigarin. This guy, this Chigarin they talk about. We need to take down this Chigarin guy. And he's on the phone with the henchman at one point. He's like, when you get the file, kill them all. And then it's like slow-mo him walking down. Just him walking with like all these judges or something behind him. Like,
oh, yeah.
What?
Yep.
What was the point of that? So we get this point where John finds out that Jack is a spy. And they're in this extraction point. McClane keeps mentioning that he's on vacation. Oh. No, he's not.
Yes.
He is there to sort his son out.
He is not on a holiday.
He keeps mentioning this throughout the film, and it annoys me more and more every time he says it.
Because I think it's played off as a joke.
It is.
It's not ever funny.
I know. I hate it. I hate it so much.
It's really bad. How is it when he's on top of the bridge before he gets into the van, where the bad guys are like going to shoot someone, and he starts yelling, hey, I'm over here. They turn up with this machine gun, start shooting at him, and he just ducks behind these bars with like massive gaps in between them.
The bullet should go through the bars as well.
What is his plan here?
There is no plan for him. It's a joke. So they escape this extraction point. I didn't mind this little bit. This is probably, in terms of action, this is probably the highlight of it, where they blow up the whole building and McClane's got the massive machine gun mowing them down as they're running in the building. Dumbass people who are running. Wouldn't you see a pile of dead bodies in that opening? How about not running that spot?
I didn't think that was good.
The bit where he pulls the bit on the wall and blows up. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying this is probably the better point of the film.
We've already discussed the best part of this film.
No, that's... bang, 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 bang. So apparently they're going to a meeting point for his daughter.
Yep.
Were we supposed to not know that it was this girl at the start? I think they're trying to hide it because at the start, during that little montage where Jack kills this random guy who we never know who it is and what the purpose of that is for, there's this girl on this motorbike and you get that obviously revealing shot where she takes the leather off and it's like, you've got to have that shot in there. Yeah. And then at the courthouse when it's blown up and they're going through like trying to find Komarov, there's a girl there too, which is obviously the same girl. Are we supposed to know?
I don't know.
Because they reveal it as she comes up. It's like it's all in, it's blurry. But then as she comes into the screen, it comes into focus and it's just like, wow, like reveal, like, oh, it's her. Like, maybe it's just me because this is the third time I'm watching this. I already knew that it was her. But did you even put that together? Did you even think of that person?
I did not connect that we'd seen this woman before.
Understandable.
Like, at all. You say we've seen her twice?
Yeah, apparently, yeah, we definitely did. And it's the same person, but I can understand why you wouldn't connect those two because it's just so Jesus. Whatever.
I mean, this whole thing, we just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem. Like, you got this daughter who's there and betrays her dad, and it's meant to be like this big wow thing when the bad guys come in. And it's just like, who cares?
this henchman guy chewing on his carrot like a twat, doing his little dance? Was he trying to be Mr. Blonde from Reservoir Dogs?
Ooh, could be.
Toying with his people here? And also, Jack gets a little knife that he has on him and starts cutting the stuff behind. What are the people behind him doing?
Okay, because I couldn't work this out. Jack gets a knife, starts cutting through his thing, and we have the laughter, obviously a callback to the end of the first Die Hard. But, so Jack breaks free.
How did McClane break free?
Bruce Willis breaks free at the same time. I watched it, I was like, what?
Yeah.
He should still be, and I was looking at, I was like, okay, maybe he just ran at the guy and his hands are still bound. No, they're not.
No, it's exactly, lazy writing, it's ridiculous. And like I said, he's cutting that stuff on his hands behind his back. McClane gets a brief look from the side of what he's doing, a quick little look, but the two henchmen behind him with their guns couldn't see what he was doing.
Yeah.
It's just sloppy. It's all sloppy throughout this film. Not as sloppy as when they jump out this fucking building into nothing. They have no idea what is out there. They just
They saw something.
Oh, give me a break.
There was a shot where McClane looks outside, sees some scaffolding, and then decides to run. But when they run at it, you can't see anything. Like, I get where you're coming from there. Before they do that jump, McClane at least looks outside and sees that there's something out there.
All right, still.
It's still terrible, but yeah.
And even when they jump down this pipe, they shoot the pipe out and they fall through what looks like 8 stories of scaffolding into a bin and they get up. All right, dust themselves off. Let's move on.
Exactly.
It's a joke.
But I couldn't get over this movie. We are now an hour into this hour and 40 minute movie. I don't know what the point of this movie is.
No, I know. What is going on?
What is this file they're after? It's just, we don't even know this bad guy's name. Like, who is the main villain here?
I have no idea.
We didn't know his name at this time, and there's nothing to root for or against.
We're under the impression that this big bad villain is this Chigaran, who we've seen twice so far.
I don't even know that name, Chigaran. You've said that a couple. I don't know who that is.
They have definitely mentioned his name a couple of times.
Okay.
Through all that exposition that they're talking about, we got to get to Chigaran because he's the worst of the worst, and we need this file to incriminate him.
That guy is going to unleash the WMDs and
stuff. Yeah, some bullshit. Yep, yeah. Okay. There's just a lot of boring talk throughout this film. There's spats of terrible action, and then cut in between stupid convo between John and Jack.
Like this one here, where Jack says he screwed up, he blew the mission. No, he didn't.
I know.
McClane did.
I know. In all fairness, even if McClane didn't show up, he was probably going to blow up the mission anyway with his 1 minute window that he was never going to get Buddy Komarov out of that courthouse.
And what happened to those guys?
Oh, you're whitewashed. Get out of it. Like, you're done. You're nothing to us.
They're not mentioned ever again.
No.
It's like you worked for someone. You have a big team that was just there that are just going to leave you out to dry now. Like,
I mean, McClane says to him, contact the CIA. And he's like, no, I'm done. I can't contact anyone. I can't trust anyone. No one in his.
No one betrayed him.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Dad showed up and was like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, I heard you're in jail. I come to save you. Get out of here. So they start talking about Chernobyl. Do you know anything about Chernobyl? Had this meltdown.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I know there was a meltdown. That's all I know.
Radiation.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
People probably died.
I think a lot of people did.
A lot of people?
Yeah, I think so. So we get more boring convo here in their drive to Chernobyl. We also get this bit where all the bad guys are in Chernobyl now, and they got this super secret key that opens this super secret hideaway vault with this massive door that opens. It's ridiculous.
I did like the key, though.
The key looked fine.
The key was probably pretty cool.
But the whole thing is just terrible. At least in like the first Die Hard, it's set up, this is what we're trying to get into, and they go through it bit by bit. Here's like, super key, open the door, done! We also get this bit where they're trying to jack the car. This is before. They're trying to jack the car. And you got Jack, he's trying to hotwire, like trying to break into the door, like he's trying to break in the car door. Yeah. And McClane comes up and goes, ooh, I got a set of keys. And they open up 3 different cars with it.
Hold on. He's got the keys. And Jack's reaction is, oh, so you're a thief now?
What?
They're stealing cars.
You're doing the same thing.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
They are literally about to steal a car. And, oh, what?
How
you stole
you?
The keys?
He's got his pick lock in the door.
Yeah. Where are your morals, man?
But then there's probably, what, 20 minutes left in this film? And what a twist. It's Komarov. He's the big villain. The plan makes no sense what he's done.
Yeah.
What is his plan to find this?
Oh, I'm glad you said that because I thought you were going to say it's so obvious. And I didn't see it coming, but I don't
because
care.
Because it's
doesn't
exactly.
make sense.
It doesn't make sense. That's why. It's not like, oh, that's so smart. It's like, it's a twist for twist's sake.
Huh.
His plan is terrible. Like, his plan wasn't for to get those people to blow up that court and get him out of there, because those people think they're working for the other guy.
Yeah.
And then he rocks up to this place where his daughter is, gets this key that he needs to open this vault that's been in that spot for like 5 years. Who the fuck knows who could have got that? It's hiding. It's behind a bloody chair or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And then he rocks up in it and expects that all this stuff is still going to be there 5 to 10 years later after it was still... Like, this is the epitome of this movie.
Stop saying epitome. I thought it was really odd that when Komarov kills the... Yeah, the henchman guy. He was the leader of the bad guys.
Everyone else is with him.
Everyone just like, yeah, okay.
So why didn't they kill him earlier? They didn't need him to get in there.
Why did they need him at all?
He's got the key. They've escaped. Kill him in the helicopter.
There's no reason for it.
Yeah, exactly. And then he calls the other guy when he's getting a massage. And at that exact moment, the other guy comes in and strangles him.
Yeah, at the exact moment when he's like, thanks for giving me my life. Now I'm going to take yours. Now, the other guy doesn't know what's going on in the phone.
How did he know he was going to be there at that point? How did he know to have someone there waiting, ready to go?
It's just...
Yeah, all this stuff. We've said it before. It's lazy and it's terrible. So John and Jack arrive here.
Hold on. Their car ride together, where they have this deep reminiscing.
Yeah.
When was the last time we were in a car ride? And they start talking about how...
We've never seen them in any film together ever.
He's got to, He had to take out a second mortgage to get him out of jail for this bail and all this stuff. How the fuck did Jack become this CIA spy? Yeah.
Yes.
Surely you have to be squeaky clean to do this shit.
Yeah.
He clearly has a massive criminal history. I was watching, I'm like, get fucked.
Yeah, but they meet up with Komarov again, who puts on this, I'm still the victim here.
Nope, we're not going there yet.
No?
Oh, still once they're out of the car, McClane and Jack, like, really... try and connect, and they say, I love you.
Oh, yeah.
And Bruce Willis acting, well, trying to act like he's had a good day here. Did you not just laugh at this?
I think I did a lot of eye rolling.
Like, it's been kind of a good day, actually. Get fucked.
It's not been a good day at all.
You should have been dead 10 times already.
Yeah.
And they even mention later, like, oh, us McClades, we're hard to kill. I was like, just say the words. Die Hard, all right? Yeah, you know you want to. You were trying so hard to get there.
You fit in, it's a good day. We're hard to die. It is a good day for us to die hard.
Yeah.
Give me a break. All right, can we talk about the Komarov?
Go to Komarov.
I have nothing to say. I'll just say this is the next part of the film. Yep, they realize that he's not the good guy here. He's the actual one. Like, there's apparently all these, he's getting the uranium or something.
I don't know.
Some shit. Trying to transport that out. And then you get all the stupid action stuff at the end.
Oh, you got the gas leaking out. Like, a lot of gas. McClane throws a grenade. The entire room just fills up like it's the fucking bottom floor of the Matrix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, they cover their head with their bare arms.
Because they're hiding behind a pole.
Covered in flames.
Yeah. They're perfectly fine. They don't even look burnt. Their clothes don't even look burnt. No.
Fire has engulfed them and they do not get remotely burnt.
It's ridiculous. And then you get the helicopter fight here. It's so boring. It's clearly so CGI. It's terrible.
It's pretty cool when he drove the truck out the back.
Whatever. It's like a small blip in a terrible, terrible scene. Throws Komarov off the building here, very much trying to get the Hans.
Oh, you get that identical shot with the shocked look of Komarov looking up as he's falling in slow motion.
Like he was shocked that was going to happen. Yeah. Like he's picked him up off the edge. He didn't think he was going to throw him off. And then McClane gets thrown through the window. I'm telling you, Die Hard 1 McClane would have been dead by now. And then the helicopter crashes and you get this slow-mo of them jumping off the building. And you see McClane give him the finger in slow-mo as it's going down.
But even then, like, they push Komarov off this building. Immediate death. These two guys jump off the building. They're fine.
Well, Komarov dies because he goes through the blades.
Oh, he does too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And he disappears in a puff of red smoke.
Yeah, right, fair point.
Yeah. But they go through the glass roof into the pool, of course. Perfectly fine.
Oh, and then Jack's like, John!
Dad! Did you think he was going to say dad?
Oh, of course.
I forgot that, but he said John. I'm like, dad, go on. It's terrible. And that's pretty much it.
That's it.
Yeah. What's your final thoughts? What's your final thoughts on the film and the franchise in general?
Franchise is okay. Honestly, if it wasn't for the first one and how great that was, it would be a below par franchise.
Like, I was not excited. I did not see the fourth one when it came out. I didn't see the fifth one when it came out, obviously, until just now. It's a dead franchise that had a great first movie and just tried to suck the life out of it each time. I would have been happy if they left it at one, but you can understand, obviously, that it's made a lot of money.
What about this film?
This film is terrible. It is. I could not find anything good about it. I mean, probably the best, nicest thing I could say about it is I wasn't actually bored watching it. Like, it's bad.
You said you fell asleep.
Well, I was tired.
You almost fell asleep this morning.
I was very tired. It's bad, but there are elements of entertainment to how bad it is. Where you remember of how great it was in the first one, and you look at it now, and it's like, man, this is so far from that. It's not funny. I'd give it probably 1 star, maybe 1.5.
Is it bordering on that line like it's so bad it's kind of good? Like, you obviously, those films you never give like a 3.
I can't believe you've watched this 3 times. What? When did you watch it the second time?
I think when I saw it the first time, I actually don't remember what I thought of it. And I'm pretty sure we were going through one of the streaming services that it was on.
Okay.
And Kira's like, oh, Die Hard 5. I'm like, well, I'm not going to pass up an opportunity to just sit down and watch a Die Hard film. So why not? And then I watch it, I'm like, oh, God.
Fair enough. Yeah. What are your final thoughts?
This film is just... It killed it. Like, it was already dying, but this killed John McClane. This is sloppy and lazy. I don't even think John Moore's seen the first Die Hard.
Actually, I got to butt in. There's something that I hated about this film that I can't believe I didn't mention. The camera work, this handheld, shaky camera work that is used not just in action scenes, but in these calm scenes.
Mm.
It was so jarring. Did you pick up on this?
I think I'm used to it now with all these kind of movies.
It was like, I was watching it and it's unsettling. It's so unnecessary.
I think they use it to try and make it look shaking. Like it's more real. Oh, like there's someone right there. Yeah, like you're there with them.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but it's annoying.
Yeah, when you're doing the shit you're doing in this film, I don't know why you'd bother trying to make it look real.
Yeah, going back to my thoughts, the action is terrible. The character of McClane is so far gone from the first one. He's not even the same person anymore. It's dark. Like, it's dark in a bad way. Like,
It's not good to look at.
It's not good to look at. The comedy is terrible.
Jai Courtney
is horrific in everything he is in.
In fairness, he is working off, you know, Bruce Willis.
A terrible script.
And the script is so unacceptable for a Hollywood movie.
Absolutely. Honestly. For a budget that big, no wonder it didn't make its budget back in America.
Yeah.
In terms of the franchise as a whole, it's not good. Like, I got 2 films of the 5 that I like.
Hmm.
And one is okay. Like, one is a fine film. Obviously, Die Hard is magnificent.
Yeah.
It dips at 2. It comes back up a bit for me at 3. And then it drops off considerably again when they bring it back for these 2 random action films. They could have easily not had them have the word Die Hard in them. Could have been something completely different. But they want to get that, you know, that recognition of John McClane and Die Hard.
Which is amazing because I read this is actually the only film of the 5 Die Hards that was actually written to be a Die Hard.
Yeah.
Everything else is off other material that has been tweaked into a Die Hard movie.
And look what happened with it. It was the worst of the franchise.
Yeah, easily.
I think I remember saying a little while ago I had it 0.5 star. When I watched it the other day, it was a 1 star for me. And then going back and looking at it on my letterbox, I actually did have it as a 1 star. So yeah, I agree with you. It's a 1 star. It's bloody awful.
Mm.
That's the end of Die Hard. It couldn't hold up to the... None of them could hold up to the original. Not even close.
No.
And it just died off hard.
Oh, I knew you were going there.
I had to. All right. Thank you, patrons, for listening to our finale of our Die Hard series. Now, next week, we have Shane's patron-requested review of Midnight Express. And then after that, we're going into another director series. And we've had a conversation about it. And the director we're going to be doing is Mr. Edgar Wright. So, for the next 5 weeks after that, you'll get Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz.
Scott Pilgrim.
Versus the World. The World's End.
World's End.
And Baby Driver.
Yeah.
So, lots of good stuff to look forward to.
None of which are in the IMDb Top 250.
No. And we'll let you know if we think that's a travesty or not.
Yes, we will.
So, until then, thank you very much, patrons. We'll see you next week for Midnight Express.
Bye.